RTI, a place just like home.
Welcome to Bayerskard from Pop Brad on another glorious week. Hope you enjoyed the special last week. I actually enjoyed doing that with all the lovely British-speaking people all over the world. We get everywhere, you know. This is Bayerskard from Pop Brad, named after the town of Pop Brad, where I am at the moment, at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains, which are now covered in snow. Yummy. My partner says no. Anyway, joining us on the alternative news programme, which is Bayerskard from Pop Brad, on the zit of the nose of Europe, it is Lee Banks.
Do you know that old Bobby Darin song?
It keeps on raining.
That's what it is. It hasn't stopped raining for a week.
Is that a 78? Is that a 78? Or a cylinder?
Oh, very, very droll, very droll.
Oh, probably no. Sheet music, knowing your case.
It was a 45, actually.
What, he was 45 when he made it?
No, it 40, I think 45 does.
It didn't. And also, in which we hope is not covered in doggy doo-doo, it's none of the Mark Gander in Gay Parry.
Hello there, yes, Gay Parry, and it is covered in doggy doo-doo, actually.
Oh,
and
no.
The other day, I was coming back from taking my daughter to school, and right outside our front door was a woman who was just waiting, having a cigarette, while her little black and white dog did a doggy doo doo right there on the step. So I called out to her, and I said,
"It was what? It was better than her doing a doggy doo doo on the step."
Absolutely, absolutely. So I called out to her, and I said, "Excuse me," and she looked at me, and she was in a total shock, and she picked the dog up and started running away. So I started following her. And I said, "Excuse me, you've forgotten something." This is all in French, of course. And she kept running. She was looking over. She was running as hard as she could. I could have caught her, but I really was just enjoying just chasing her. And she went down a few. She went down a few streets, and amazingly, actually went to her own block of flats with this poor dog. I don't know what happened to the dog. It must have been totally traumatised. Madly trying to punch in the door code, and she could hardly do it. Well, I was looking at her and then taking photographs of my telephone.
Yes.
And then I said, "You've forgotten something." And she then said, "Oh, I'm going to come back and pick it up. I'm going to come back and pick it up." And I said, "I don't think you are." And she went in, and I waited for 5 minutes, and she never came out again.
Oh, that's not nice, is it?
Here's one thing you should do, Mark. I've done this. If you catch somebody doing it, follow them home. If they've got a gate, put a tack on the flicky thing on the gate, you know, the opening up thing on the gate.
Right. No.
Cover it in dog thing. That's it. Just, no, you have to imagine the rest of it.
Yes, exactly. Let's say hi to the other guys first. Oh, yeah. Hi to Talk Radio, X Replay Radio, you lovely folks on Audio Boo and RTI, and a whole bunch of new guys that are listening to us this week. Welcome. Glad to have your company. Mark, you were going to finish your story.
I was only going to say, I then went back to the doggy doo-doos. I actually went back indoors. I got a bag. I put it in the bag, and I went back to her place. If you were here, believe me, you'd be obsessed with it as well.
Let's get on.
And I went home and I put it on her doorstep.
Nice.
There's something wrong with me.
Excuse me. Whoa, stop. Cut. Desist. Let's move on, boys and girls. Lots to get on this week. And I'm very honoured to say that in part two of the programme, we'll be joined by John Hemming MP, because they're... It's just outrageous. We'll tell you the story now. There are actually many Slovak families in the UK who are suffering at the hands of social services, who seem to think they can take the children away, put them into foster care, and even put them up for adoption. Funnily enough, there's been very little on the television, and I've not heard anything on the British radio about this particular incident, not so much in the press either, which I find
There's been a couple of stories in the press about
but
it.
But not much.
Not really. No, they've not really got to terms with it. The Daily Mail actually have been doing quite a bit.
Okay. Well, on national television here, there was a four-hour special the other day, and funnily enough, the family was named, etc., etc. The actual mother was on television saying how disgusting the English system is. And yet, funnily enough, as you'll find out later, John Hemming got some pictures of the protests that were taking place outside the British Embassy in Bratislava. And he was told by social services he had to remove the name of the family. The daft thing is...
What?
Yeah. The daft thing is the pictures are on the interweb. Everybody knows who they are. And we'll find out more about what's been going on with John Hemming MP in part two of the programme. And John has graciously agreed, and we'll be giving it all out later. If you have problems, he will help you. And he's even prepared to give out his office telephone number on the interweb. And his email address as well. Sad news from Manchester, and I have to say...
Terrible news.
Terrible news. Yes. Tributes have been coming in from everybody to those wonderful two young ladies who went out to try and stop a burglary. And I think because you're Mancunian, basically, you can take over.
Well, it's very simply, yeah, it is. It's a terrible thing that's happened. They were had a hand grenade thrown at them, shot by some maniac gangland thug who's well known for it. What I don't understand about the story, and I think it needs to come out very quickly, and the newspapers are doing it, the television and radio aren't, is that why this bloke, whose name I've forgotten, actually lured these two women to the house in Mottram in Manchester and attacked them, then gave himself up. The gangland situation in Manchester has always been bad, and guns have always been one of the weapons of choice there, apart from knives.
You don't think this is a copycat trying to emulate that guy in Sweden, do you?
No, I don't. No, it's purely gangland.
Okay.
It's purely gangland. And also, what annoys me about it is that the police have known... I knew about guns in Manchester 30 years ago, and it's always been the gun capital of Britain, more than London in any other way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you.
And for the police to have actually not taken any great action against it is... And still to be acting as if they're shocked by the fact that there are guns on the streets of Manchester, they should hold their heads in shame.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we'll go to Mark on this, because your police are armed as well, aren't they? Mark is the same as here.
They're not my police. The French police are armed, yes, they are. They're routinely armed. And I have to say, they're not liked. They're feared. They've got a shocking reputation for brutality and racism. They're the only European police force that's been convicted of the torture and I think even murder of their own citizens. Of course, they're always Arab-based citizens in France, in the European court. Not once, but twice.
Wow.
Now, I don't know whether that's a reflection on being armed. I actually think it's a reflection on the whole quality of the police force here. They're not liked. They're really not liked at all. And they're not respected, and they're not thought to be very efficient. I would hope that if we ended up arming the British police, that we wouldn't go that way, and that we would still have a sense of community with them, because I think by and large we have. I find it very amazing that Manchester has become so much the capital of this kind of thing as opposed to other cities, and particularly London. And I wonder why that
always
happened.
It always has been.
I know, but the problem was there was a massive thing a few years ago where Bristol was the bad boy. And I think Manchester just got sort of put to the sidelines and nobody really knows.
I think it was just a focus. That was just a focus. Manchester actually, one of its great claims to fame, which, it's a shameful thing, is that the Quality Street gang in Manchester, which were the biggest gang around, actually drove the Cray twins and their gang out. That's how powerful Manchester was.
Gosh. Yeah, well, that is sad news. Well, but I have to say, on the other side of the fence, that the Slovak police are armed, and yet they are, a bundle of fun to be with. They're really nice people. Mm. They will mix and mingle.
They will shoot you.
They will mix and mingle at sort of cultural events, a bit like the London festivals, and they will be part of the community, and they're very quick to help in community things, including going to schools, helping kids learn how to ride the bikes and all sorts of things, and yet they're wearing guns. So I'm not so sure it's going to be a bad thing.
Let's hope. I mean, you say it's going to be a bad thing as if it's definitely going to happen.
I think it will.
The only force in Europe that isn't armed. I think it is, isn't it?
I think
probably
so.
The only force in the world that's not armed.
Yeah, no, probably. Yeah, true, yeah. Anyway, yeah. I bring the next story on because it does concern me that there's not enough respect for the police in the UK, and especially when you get to the fact of Andrew Mitchell, who's the chief whip, which means he's the bloke that bullies everybody in government to go and vote, has had to apologise for disrespectful remarks made to the police, who made him get off his bike as he was leaving Downing Street. And to why not?
To go through a smaller gate. Yeah. I mean, how amazing. I mean, what a stupid time to do this kind of thing anyway, when, in fact, we've just had two police officers shot. Mm. But also, you know, what pompous arrogance. And really, another, if you like, sort of slap in the face for the Conservative government. You know, really, I hope this man gets a serious talking to about it. It's disgraceful.
I think he has. I think he has had a serious talking to. Yeah. And I think really all he did was actually call the police plebs, and give the police their dignity as well. They haven't actually made a complaint against him or reported him. Mm. It's just something that's come out. And yeah, he should be put up against the wall and whipped.
Hardly.
If it had been me, or if it had been some young guy somewhere, that nothing to do with sort of being a senior politician, then I imagine that something would have happened to him. So actually, I think that he's also traded on his privilege.
I think
position.
He's lucky.
And I think he's more than lucky. I think he trades on it.
Well, they do, don't they? That's part of the glory.
Excuse me. How many times, Mr. Banks, have you said, "I'm a member of the press, don't you know?"
Yes. Yeah, but that's I don't. Yeah, so
So you haven't done it either. Anyway, moving along, because we have got a lot to get through. Microsoft has defeated Google for a change over a third-party patent in Germany. And it's to do with the way stuff goes into tablets and phones these days. And there's so many Barneys going on about this. Yeah. But it's interesting because although it's the Google who are in the court case, it's actually the Motorola handset, which, of course, Google bought recently. So we've got another bunch of spats going on.
It just never stops at the moment, doesn't it? I mean, I suppose really. I mean, you know, that now that Motorola or Google have got to decide whether it's going to be more cost effective to make an update and try and change whatever's being complained about, or simply to pay a license fee to Microsoft. Mm-hmm. But whatever it is, you know, I don't know whether it's good or bad for consumers, but I think I'm a bit sick of it.
Well, it is interesting that Samsung and HTC are paying the license fees, which Motorola haven't. And, of course, you get the typical statement out of the PR office at Google: we are waiting for the written decision and are evaluating our options, including an appeal.
Yeah. I don't very often have any great angst over the situation for major companies. But actually, when you think, Microsoft have actually won rulings on this over and over again, and they're actually having to build upon on case after case to actually get some action to stop what looks like an infringement of their intellectual property.
Right, which brings me on nicely, because I must remember to do this. Lee, you were at a Guinness World Records thing over the weekend. I forgot to put it on the run order.
Yeah, well, exactly. And it wasn't to do with drinking.
No, it was a Guinness World Record, and Lee Banks was there, and there wasn't alcohol on the premises. Well, maybe there was.
No, absolutely. Well, there wasn't. No, dear, no. No, it was, I was actually, ladies and gentlemen, I was jamming. It was a real McCoy, stinky, sweaty, exhausting games jam, which involved 320 kids from all over the UK.
Kids?
Who actually became world record breakers and got themselves in the Guinness Book of Records. It was amazing. It was at Bedfordshire University.
Right.
And that was interesting, what we're saying about Microsoft, because Microsoft were there with a company from Luton called Train to Game. And they teamed up to break a world record for a games jam. Now, I don't really understand what a games jam is, except that a load of kids have to go into rooms where that end up stinking awful and invent and design a new game, which then can go and make them a fortune at the end of it. And they stayed up 48 hours to do it. 48 hours without
sleep. Did you stay up 48 hours?
I think I was awake in total for about 40 minutes. No, but what an accolade, though, for a company in Luton, which, you know, is a national company. It's known all over the place, and it's a good company. But to actually be recognised by this Goliath of a world name, Microsoft, to recognise its talent and its innovation.
So we're all 300... They're young adults. So we're all these young adults. Are they now all sort of record breakers?
Well, no, not all of them are record... Well, they are, of course they are. They've all been part of a record-breaking thing, a world record-breaking event. Actually got into the Guinness Book of Records. I'm not in the Guinness Book of Records. You're not in the Guinness Book of Records. He's not in the Guinness Book of Records.
Who's he? Your auntie's cat?
Yeah, exactly. That's not nice, is it? Anyway, it was a good weekend then.
Oh, it was a really good weekend. I met some really nice people. I had a chat with Scott Henson, who's a...
He's a big wig in Microsoft.
Yeah, he's the head of the studios. And he just said that this sort of event... which is taking a long time to, a few months to organise, he said he recognised the talent of the people who want to be in the games industry, which, let's face it, the government is even supporting with tax breaks and stuff like that, because it is potentially one of the industries that's going to put Britain back on its feet.
Gosh, I can't... It's just, that's a contradiction in terms for me, Lee.
What's that?
Well, you at an event of technology that's going to help Britain get back on its feet. It doesn't work for me as a sentence.
It was a bit bizarre, I must admit.
Yeah, because, Mr. Luddite with young technology people.
We had a good photographer. But again, it's something that really... techie things like this. This is why I get fed up on the show sometimes and I moan and make noises in the background.
Yeah.
Because techie things really become for techie people.
Right.
And there is its own language and its own way of looking at things. But if you get somebody on the outside, as you describe me as a Luddite, which I've only just found out what it means. But and you get somebody like me who doesn't really involve themselves. I've never played a game in my life. Well, it gives a different view. It brings that world to the general world.
There are games being made for
old people now. The real Silver Surfers. And that's a good thing.
Mark?
Yes?
Have you looked at Lee's hair lately?
Don't you look at my hair. Get your own baldy.
I wouldn't know how to look at it. From this distance.
Well, I'm just looking at the picture of him, and it looks to me like games for Silver Surfers. That rings a bell.
I do games for whatever blonde, I can't remember.
Yeah, thank you very
much. I am an auburn, I am a blonde person.
Yeah.
I am a natural blonde. I can prove it. Spit your camera on, your Sky camera. We'll show you I am a natural blonde.
No, we won't. Moving along, we had a lot of debate about this with the Leveson report and all sorts of other things going on. News Corporation were then, there were suggestions that they were not fit to broadcast in the UK. Ofcom this week have decided that BSkyB is a fit and proper holder of a broadcast licence. How about that?
And James Murdoch is going to take it over in his dad's place. And old Rupert the Bear is going to go and take a back seat. I bet he is as well.
Well, that's according to News Corp, who said we're pleased that Ofcom determined the evidence related to phone hacking, concealment and corruption does not provide any basis to conclude that News Corporation and Rupert Murdoch acted in any way that was inappropriate, and that there's simply no evidence that James Murdoch deliberately engaged in any wrongdoing.
And doesn't it prove what I've been saying? This has all been an attack on the media, brought about, perpetuated by the government, and now they should start looking at the right people. They should start looking at themselves and the police.
Yeah, well, Mark?
Well,
have we gone?
I'm completely opposed always, I'm afraid, to what Lee says about the media. You know, if there are attacks, I think this is far more than an attack on the media, but if there is an attack on the media, then I think that it's been warranted by the behaviour that we appear to have seen over a long period of time now. Not all of the media, of course, but the fact is that it's quite clear that some of the media have decided this sort of freedom of speech idea allows them to do absolutely anything. You know, I mean, of course, in France, we've still got this news story of the intrusion into the private lives of the not the princess, the Duchess of wherever she is, Cambridge.
Kate Middleton,
as yes. was. You know, I think the media need we need freedom for the media, very, very important. But I think they need chastening. And I think that, as we've had debates on before, I think we need to start understanding
There's nothing wrong with a fascist regime, Mark. And that's where
and there's nothing wrong with a fascist regime, as long as we're allowed to see what goes
let's
on.
Let's stay in France. There's been a court case in France, and it's declared that bullfighting is legal.
Oh, it's bullfighting. I thought we were talking about what Mark was talking.
Stop it. I'm going to slap him in a minute. I really
No, you're not, because I'm in England and you're in Slovakia. Thank you. I can say what I want and you can't get me.
I could. Could.
Well, what do you think about bullfighting, Lee?
You chicken, Mark.
I think it's the most...
Oh, we're going to come around to chickens in a minute. I promise.
Yeah, no, I think it's absolutely disgusting. The problem is it's one of those things that is a major tradition. But Salvador Dali, one of probably Spain's greatest people, chucked bulls out of aircraft for supposed art. It's a heinous crime. And why has it been declared legal in France? Why did France want to kill bulls?
I don't know.
To respect their traditions. Traditions in France seem to count for an awful lot. Do you know that cockfighting is legal as well in France?
No, I didn't know that.
Don't be disgusting.
I'm. Well, you won't win any prizes.
Boom, boom!
I've got a welterweight.
Boom,
boom! There are some parts of France, particularly up in the Pas de Calais, which is sort of in the northwest of France, where cockfighting is legal. There are licensed areas where you can do it. And not only that, because it's legal, we have people travelling in, for instance, from Belgium and I'm afraid to say, the United Kingdom, from England, to watch and also to take part in cockfighting. And what they do, because, for instance, they're not allowed to have equipment for the purposes of things like cockfighting in England, what they do is that they have them raised over in France and they, if you like, have them stabled in France. So it's like having your sort of racehorses being sort of bred and run by an independent stables. They do exactly the same with their cockerels and then put them to fight. And there are huge, I suppose, coach trips of, you know, I'm sure or very elegant people come along to see these chickens. I told we'd get around to chickens being ripped to shreds. And I think it's disgraceful.
In a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah, no. Well, exactly. I don't know if they. I imagine they don't then put them into a restaurant. But that's what they do. That's what they do to chickens over here, and
like
clearly that's what they do
here.
To bulls. What?
It's like dog fighting over here.
Yeah.
Anything that it's like hunting, like the hunting and shooting fraternity around here.
Yes.
Anything that harms anything for pleasure is despicable.
Yeah. Do you know that they shoot songbirds over here?
Yes, I've heard that.
Every year, well, I'll tell you, every year when all those sparrows and thrushes and all the other things are flocking over from Italy to come up north
Eric,
for the
what
summer,
are you talking about is language.
Stop it.
The French are out there with their guns, and I can tell you, they kill them in their tens and tens of thousands,
so much so
that they're disturbing the migratory pattern of these birds.
They actually net them as well.
They're
over
avoiding
there.
The shooters.
Don't they, Mark? Big nets up in the sky.
I don't know about netting, but the shooting ones are not for eating, I can tell you. They're just for the fun.
Okay. No, let's move on because we've got one more to get in before.
Can I just pass a
Very quickly.
Yeah, no, it's just like badgers around here in the countryside. I was talking to a farmer, and he's saying that the badger population are so depressed around here that they are actually shooting themselves in the head and then chucking themselves under HGVs.
Yes.
I'm going nowhere.
That was funny.
It wasn't.
Yes, it was.
Very serious situation in both the Czech Republic, and do take notice of this if you are outside of the Czech Republic and Slovakia. The import of certain types of alcohol from the Czech Republic into Slovakia is now banned. The reason being... Sorry?
This is bizarre.
I know. Reason being that some bootleg alcohol has been made. It contains methanol. And the problem with methanol is it can make you go blind.
That's the problem. Great, seriously, isn't it?
Very serious. Methanol poisoning is not pleasant. It is not good. And you'll probably find that most of these well-organised bootleggers are actually part of the gangland communities of certain areas. They are certainly not of anything reputable. And so what the Czech government has done is they've put a ban on liquor containing alcohol of 20% or more as a kind of safeguard to avoid people getting caught. And I say this for both Brits, because I know you guys come over to the Czech Republic a lot. Don't buy dodgy, cheap booze. It could end up leaving you blind.
Exactly. And also, but the thing I don't understand is this is a general sort of blanket ban on alcohol over 20%, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's the safest way to do it, Lee, because they can't be sure which
ones... We have alcohol more powerful than that.
Not much.
Oh, we have a bit more powerful, eh? Oh, yeah, bottles of wine are 19% sometimes.
No,
12.
No, port is 18%.
Yeah.
14%! So... I've got one in front of me now, not that I'm drinking it.
Well, that's 14%. It's not 20%.
That's very unusual to have 14%, but generally speaking, you wouldn't get wine that's stronger than that.
No.
And if you do, then it becomes sherry or it becomes port.
Exactly. But the good news is that the Czech police have already arrested 10 people. They've seized over 5,000 litres of spirit. And the problem is that the counterfeit labels they use on these bottles are very, very close to the original.
But what about stuff like Slivovica and stuff like that? What are they going to do with that?
They just can't sell it from the Czech Republic at the minute. Simple.
What about that stuff, that Green Dragon?
What, the one that got...
Absinthe.
Absinthe? Yeah, well, we have that here. It's made in Slovakia. It's not the alcohol content, Lee. It's the fact that it's got methanol in it.
No, he should. No, I know. I'm not an idiot. I'm not a village idiot. I know really? That. What I'm saying is that they've done a blanket ban on a country that is used to having very, very, very strong alcohol. It just surprises me.
Yeah, but there again, you know, if people are dying because of this sort of thing, then I think the Czech Republic have done the right thing.
I don't. I think they should be clamping down heavily on the bootleggers. You know, bootlegging used to be this romantic sort of image of people who used to base corn mash.
No, I'm not buying that.
It ain't anymore. It's chemical.
All those in favour of agreeing with Lee, say aye. Aye. Was that you as well,
aye.
Mark?
Aye. I'm just
in favour of agreeing or in favour of disagreeing?
Disagreeing.
You said agreeing.
He did.
Did I?
And I agree with you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. Disagree with Lee.
Well, yes, I don't think that the first thing is I don't think that it's ever been a particularly romantic thing. I mean, they've made films and so forth out of Prohibition.
Corn mash.
Well, there you go. That's the end of part one, boys and girls. Part two coming up in a second. We'll be joining John Hemmings.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.